There are not very many of us here today, so, and this is an experience that what we're going to do today in our worship service is something that draws us closer. So I would like us, if you're willing to, there's hardly any of us here, if you would just come into the first few pews, first couple of pews across here around the church. I am going to ask Keith to set me up the little podium, and I'm going to come down here, and we can just talk a little more intimately with what we'll be talking about today. And while this gets prepared, I want to thank Phyllis and Barbara because you chose perfect songs for today that go right along with the theme that we're talking about. How many of you got the email that Mary sent out? A few of you. Good, good. I really hope that you're prepared to share today. That will be great for us. In the email, I asked you to think about your moment of salvation, the time when you gave yourself to Christ. And I'd like us just to hear this from each other and how Christ has changed us. I will start out by telling you that I was raised in an Adventist home. My grandmother married into becoming a Seventh-day Adventist, my paternal grandmother. I don't have any idea when my grandfather's family became Adventist, if it was when they first came from Norway or if it was prior to that. But my maternal grandparents were apparently both raised Adventists but had left the church. My mother was not raised an Adventist until they returned to the church when she was 14. And she never really talked a lot about it, but I know that some of her experiences were not the ideal experiences for an Adventist young woman. Her dad had a dance band, and she only mentioned it to me once, but I know that sometimes she was to accompany them, and some of her experiences there were not good ones. But personally, I became a baptized member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church at 12 years of age after an evangelistic crusade. But no one talked to me at that point about anything. They just accepted the fact that I was going to be baptized. I was not visited by a pastor. I was not... nothing about a relationship with Christ was explained to me. This was the right thing to do, and I was the right age, and I was a good girl, so I did it. And a few weeks later, probably a few days later, I'm not sure, I got into a wild argument with my little sister, and I remember my mom saying, "Pam, and you were just baptized." And I felt so condemned and totally lost, totally bewildered, and didn't dare answer a thing. So asked no questions. When I was probably about 14, I was given a Christian novel to read. I felt guilty reading a novel because I was taught that Adventists do not read novels. But I was told it was a good novel, and my mother did not tell me otherwise, so I read it. I don't remember the story, but what I do remember is toward the end of the book, being very impressed through the book, through the Holy Spirit, with the importance of turning my life over to Christ. I had spent some time, we had now moved back to Washington, but in my last year particularly of living near Chicago, I had started becoming rather wild, and I kind of liked that, and I didn't really want to change my identity. I resented having to go to the church school that my parents put me in when we moved out here because I knew that I would be reined in, and I wanted to go to the other church school where I didn't think I would be quite so reined in. but I ended up having to go to the one I didn't want to, and I remember reading this book and realizing way in the middle of the night, because I developed at that age the habit that I still have now, that's difficult for me, of reading to put myself to sleep, and that book did not put me to sleep. And so I was probably about maybe 2 or 3 in the morning. My mother had come in to find out why the light was on. She sat down beside me, read the book on this side of me, and then passed me and came over and read the book on that side of me, finished it and went back to bed. And I read on. And I came to the conclusion that I really needed to give my life to the Lord, as was shown in the book. And I did. And I remember this burden coming off of me as I gave myself to him. I'd heard about it, but I didn't really understand what that was about until I experienced it. But I still had no idea how to have a relationship with God. And I went away to the academy, and one day one of my teachers became angry with me. I was living a good girl Christian life, and I knew that the girls in the dorm looked up to me. And in class, the teacher accused me of telling him a lie, which was not true. I had not lied to him. And though I was very introverted, very shy at that point in my life particularly, I decided I needed to talk to him and get this clarified so that he could clarify it to the class. So I stayed behind and talked to him and asked him to please let the class know I had not lied to him. He didn't like it. And I gave up and went down to my room. I was too upset to go to supper. And he called down to the dorm and told them that I was to go back up to the music building and talk to him. I went up there, and I sat for 2 hours while he raked me totally over the coals, in his mind destroying all my Christian experience, telling me everything that he imagined was wrong with me, how horribly immature I was, and how within 10 years I would be out of the church. Now, I sat there very quietly. You don't answer teachers back. And so I sat there, crying in my heart, but also becoming angrier and angrier. And as a teenager, I had to find some way to rebel. So in my mind, I said, all right, if I leave the church, it will be after 10 years. A real great way to rebel, right? So during those 10 years, I often prayed, Lord, if there really is something wrong with my Christian experience, if I really am the legalist that he said I was, if I really am as awful as he said I was, and as prideful as he said I was, and so on, show me what I'm supposed to be. Show me the way it's supposed to be, because I don't get it. I am living the best way I know how. And finally, after I had been married maybe 5 years, I had worked long enough as a nurse to be able to earn vacation time. And my husband and I took it during the Gladstone camp meeting. And each evening we sat in the meetings and heard Maury Vendon. That's when I found out what a relationship with Christ was supposed to be like and how to develop it. I had no clue. No clue. My parents had evening worship with us every day and sometimes morning worship, but I never saw my parents having a personal devotional time. I don't think they were ever taught that. And it was amazing to me what a personal devotional time did for me when I started it out. But what really struck me that Morris Vinden said, and I had no idea I had a different concept until he said it, he said, God is not looking for ways to keep you out of heaven, but ways to get you into heaven. And I was like, oh! I had no idea I had a different concept of God. It had never dawned on me that I thought differently. But to think that God actually wanted me in heaven was a revelation to me. And it filled me with joy. And I'll have to tell you that while I didn't recognize the change in me, it wasn't very many days later that one of the nurses at work, who loved to pick on me, who loved to criticize me, said to me, "Pam, what has happened to you? You are different." And I was able to tell her. And that was an amazing thing to me, the difference Christ made in me without me trying to do anything except just accepting that God loved me. So that's my story. What is yours? I would love to hear when you had a moment of salvation. You may not have had a dramatic conversion experience. You may not be able to point to a specific time when you knew God had changed you or God had done something great in your life. But somehow, some way, you must know that you are in a walk with God. I would like to hear about that. There aren't a lot of us, but who can tell us? And you can stand or you can sit. I don't care how you go about it, but we would like to hear your story. And you're right, it is kind of close to, we're getting close to 12, but maybe, I didn't see what time we started, but I can't imagine that I actually took 20 minutes. Phyllis?
When I was a little girl, when I was born into an Adventist family. My dad was an Adventist, and so was my mom. He became a doctor, and my mother became a nurse. And she was born in College Place in 1902. And her parents were Seventh-day Adventists. And her grandparents became Seventh-day Adventists, but they came out on the covered wagons and stuff. And when the Indians were here.
Wow.
And anyway, I was born in Colorado. My parents were there. And they were... always had devotional before breakfast or at breakfast time, we'd have our little morning worship. And I was always taught to do that. And then I decided at four, I was about 4 years old, that I wanted to preach. And so all the time I was getting up there in the podium with the preacher trying to, mom was having to rescue me. I wanted to preach. Anyway, then I grew up a little bit more, and we had worship in the evening also. And mom and dad would teach me how to love Jesus, and that was the whole thing, that I needed to be saved for heaven. And that he came to die for me. And so I learned at very early age that Jesus loved me and that he was the one I needed to follow and nobody else. And so I studied and we came to California and I started school there in Sonoma, California. And we lived there about 3 years. And we moved up to Brownsville, California, which is up in the mountains up near Reno, up on the way to Reno. Anyway, I was baptized there in the church. My dad was one of the head elders there. And I wanted to be baptized. and I couldn't wait. Daddy made me wait till I was at least 12 years old. So as soon as I was 12, I decided I better get baptized because I had been trained that you have to be baptized in order to go to heaven. Mm. And so I got baptized, and we lived there a few months more. And then I went into Angwin, PUC Prep, and started high academy there. And I got kind of belligerent, and while I was in school, I got running with the wrong crowd, ornery ones, and I decided I didn't want to be Adventist anymore because I'd seen too many hypocrites, and I was looking at all the ones that I had looked up to. They weren't living right, at least in my opinion. And so I got belligerent, and I decided when I was 16, 17, and graduated from high school, I was going to leave home and live my life the way I wanted to, which I did, and I tried everything in the world there was to try, which wasn't very good for me. I had my children, and I raised them in that mess, and then I met Joe after two marriages had failed. Well, my second husband died with cancer, emphysema, and I was floored. My kids were teenagers and a little bit older, and they were running wild because I couldn't keep up with them after that. Anyway, I met Joe, my husband, late husband, and I promised my mother when I was a teenager that when she got too old to take care of herself, that I would help take care of her, no matter what. And so she called me in San Diego, and she says, "I need your help. I'm all alone." She'd been through two marriages, lost both of them, and she needed me to come up here to take care of her. So I told Joe. I was living with Joe at the time. I had met him down there, and he was kind of taking care of me because I'd lost everything. And we decided to live together but not get married because he had just gone through a big divorce, and he didn't want to get married again, and neither did I because I'd been through all that mess. And I wanted to get out of California. So we came up here. I came up here on the airplane. Mom sent me money to get up there. And I came up on the airplane. And no more than got home at Mom's home, the telephone rang, and Joe says, "I'm coming up there. I can't live without you." And I thought, oh, okay. So I picked him up at the airport, and brought him home, and that was in 1986. And I finally decided to give my life to God again, because Mom wanted me to. She said, "You can't bring all that trash up here. I won't have it." And she told me, "You can't live with Joe unless you get married." I said, "Okay." So we set up an appointment to get married. So we got married in Mom's backyard. And Elder Johnson married us. And I gave my heart to God at that time. I decided this is the way it's supposed to be. And I love God. Even when I was doing wrong, I always prayed to God to help me, keep me safe. And I was preaching to the other people that I was dealing with. I was preaching to them too about God. I was higher than a kite most of the time. So I never forgot God, but I just didn't want to be a Seventh-day Adventist. Anyway, that's when I decided to turn my life around. And so far, he helped me get over the addictions that I was on. He helped Joe get up over his addictions, and we both got baptized again. And that's my life. You know the life I've been living lately.
And look how God is using you nowadays, ministering to so many. Who else? I know some of you have stories.
Well, I was raised in a Pentecostal church, and we went to church a lot. We went to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesdays to young people's meeting and then for prayer meeting. And, you know, there were so many lovely people that it was, they were so kind. I mean, I think our experience with God has a lot to do with our experience with people, and especially our experience with our parents. And my mom and dad were very, very sweet. My dad was, you would almost say by the time he'd become 30, he had really matured. Before that, not so mature, but he'd had, it was a second marriage with my mom, and so he had another boy and girl, and he was so happy because he didn't think he could have any more children, and before his first marriage, he had a boy and a girl, and so one had gotten married. They were about 10 or 12 years older than me, but anyway, eventually, my half-brother came up and lived with us, and I've never met my half-sister. Mm. But anyway, he was so happy to have two more children. He had my sister, which had been 18 months when he married my mom. So he loved children, and so did my mother and all my aunts and uncles, three sets of aunts and uncles around us. We were 10 years younger. So I had a lot of love in my life. And I also... my father was a very good example. He was not a perfect man, but he was very sweet, very congenial, hardworking. He reminds me of my husband. Extremely hardworking, and he loved his family, his immediate family, and we had a real close-knit family. So I feel like even though I had some rather, my dad was murdered and when he was 40, and... my mother had left 2 years before that, and so I was the mom to my little brother when I was 8 years old. You know, but I feel like I had so many blessings. Those things, I feel like the Holy Spirit was always with me, so those things were kind of taken in stride. And then I think, you know, we were baptized in Casper, Wyoming, into the Adventist Church. Terry had been a Catholic, and I was Pentecostal. Yet I feel that my real spiritual experience, part of this spiritual experience, was the example of the people in Sheridan, Wyoming, especially the older members of the church. There were some godly people there, and that means kind and loving and non-condemning to me. That those are, and that is who Christ is, kind and loving and non-condemning. But if you don't have that experience, what a struggle it is to understand that. And one of the most important revelations to me was about when I was 40, and I realized I don't have to convict people. It's not me that brings people to God. I don't have to feel this heavy feeling of responsibility for every soul I meet. That the Holy Spirit convicts people and their hearts, and you need to be there and you need to be ready, but you don't have to personally bring every sheep into the fold and be a perfect example for everybody. You just have to love them and to really care about them. And I often told the ladies of our Bible study, we are blessed because we are women, and God has given women attributes that come easier to them than they do to men that are heavenly attributes. The compassion, the maternal instinct, the readiness to forgive, the feminine qualities is something I feel God has gifted us with because he knew we would need them because we are in a man's world. And those, and a good memory for when you get in an argument. So you can always remember exactly what your husband said and bring it back up. I always remember everything Terry said. But anyway, the revelation to me, I remember I was praying and I had been reading my Bible, and I just remember that revelation that, like you said too, that God is not waiting around the corner to catch us doing something wrong. He is giving us every single last chance, every person in this entire universe, atheist or not, before he dies, he gets that chance. God is a just God. He's a loving God, and he's not condemning us for our sins. He's trying to save us from them. And, you know, you can be as perfect as you want, and believe me, that's a huge burden to bear. And you may not even be conscious you're trying to be perfect, but you're trying to work your way to heaven because you feel like you should be a responsible and a good follower of Christ and his example. And I think that sometimes we're a little more humble when we are a little more sinful, not bad, big sins, but I mean, because we are not perfect. When we realize our failings, it's much easier to be a Christian than, you know, when we think, well, I didn't do anything, did I? I didn't murder anybody. I didn't, you know. And I'm just very grateful because I feel like the Holy Spirit, it has been there for my brother and I from the day we were born. And my mother was a powerful prayer warrior. She prayed and prayed and prayed. And my dad was a man after God's own heart. And he had failings like we all do, but that man, everybody loved my dad, and he would give anybody anything he had. And my mother was the same way. So anyway, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit's presence because I felt it all my life, even when I was a young girl growing up without a dad and a mom who worked from early morning to late at night, the only one in my household. I was never lonely, and I always felt this comfort. And I never felt anger, really, at the man who, I was afraid of him, the man who killed my dad and the 14-year-old boy that was with him. I was afraid of him, but my mom had taken us right over to that household. His wife kept books for my dad, and we had, after my dad died, and we went to see Ivy, because we loved Ivy, and Ivy was, that's the man's wife that killed him. And we just told her we loved her, we didn't blame her for anything. And you know what? We didn't. I did not feel any animosity in my heart. I felt fear. I know my brother especially did because he was younger. But, you know, he's always there. It's just that I feel I had a blessed life. And when you look at the different things that happened, no, it wasn't blessed in that way. But we always have the presence of the Holy Spirit. We just don't always acknowledge that, you know, that pull.
Thank you. Wow. God brings us through all kinds of things, doesn't he? Is there one more?
Have one male.
Thank you, Dennis.
Experience here. As I was thinking in prayer this morning, God used our ancestors to provide us the environment, the best environment that he could to bring us to him. And I can't get over that belief. I don't know very much about the history of before my grandparents. I don't even know all the history of my grandparents. There's mysteries with my grandparents, but they raised my parents both to be believers, and I just feel very, very indebted that my parents were godly. They really enjoyed worshiping and private devotions, family worship. And I cannot remember a time Well, I shouldn't say that. There was probably brief moments that I felt rebellious. Some of those family worships were quite long. And one of my rebellious actions was to give, I was given the chance to read for family worship. And I read and read and read. And I thought maybe they would catch on that there's maybe too much reading. And they never said anything, but I think they caught on. But anyway, I feel that my growth in understanding has just been gradual. There's no big moments that came where I felt a change. Between yesterday, my baptismal experience at 11 was genuine. I had a true remorse for my past and commitment to my future. And it's been a growth period ever since. Having children was a wonderful growth experience. Being married was incredible for growth. The first year of marriage was a huge, huge challenge at, you know, almost 30 years old. But I thank God for customizing my my parents, my grandparents, and then my environment for making choices that have honored him. I've made many mistakes. I've failed, but I feel like God has given me opportunities time and time again to make good choices and see where I've made bad choices. And I trust him to continue that.
Amen. I would like you to take your red book. We're using the red book a lot today. But to turn to number 441, which is a very short, 41 is, well, what I'm talking about right now is 41, a very short reading among us. This is going to be a bit challenging, but what I would like you to do is each time there is the word you, put in a personal pronoun for yourself, whether it's me or I, and sometimes you'll have to change the verb to fit. But I want us to read this each for ourselves. I'll read the light print, you read the dark print, or join me at that point. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for me. I, who through great, who by God's power, unto the coming of the salvation that is ready to be received at the last time, though you have not seen him, I love him. Even though I or you do not see him now, I believe in his name and am filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. I am receiving the goal of my faith, the salvation of my soul. Amen.